pray with me. God, we thank you that today on this Palm Sunday, we can reflect and recognize and just have the joy and the excitement and the fun of laying these branches down at the front. And Lord, as we did that, we just experienced the joy and the celebration of your Son coming into Jerusalem as a king. A king that represented not earthly power and might, and yet he had that, but a king who laid down his life in humility. A king who loved us so much that he was willing to give his life for us. So that we who are sinful and have done all of these things and have no way to be able to get to you and to have forgiveness, that he paid that price. That he gave us that chance. That he laid down his life so that we can have it. So that we can be with you. So that we can have eternal life. And so God, we thank you for this day that begins this holy week of representing and remembering your Son and all of the different steps that are taken to be able to experience you. God, I pray that you would be with us as we open your word and as we link the prophecy found in Daniel to Jesus coming into Jerusalem. Lord, I pray that you would guide us, that you would open our hearts and our ears, that you would just give us a sense of your presence and encounter you today. I pray this in your name. Amen. You can go ahead and have a seat. And just a reminder that kids, you are going to stay here for today. We don't have Grace Kids today, and so you're going to stick with us here and and be in this time of teaching, which we've been going through the book of Daniel, and this is our last in the series of Daniel. And I got to tell you that I'm excited because Daniel has not been the easiest book to preach through because there's so much research that goes into it. And as I go through that research, it's like I've got pages and pages and pages of notes. And then all of a sudden I'm like, wait, I can't do this in like 20, 30, 40 minutes. I need to pare this down. And so it's a matter of understanding it and then applying it, but then also paring it down to be able to fit it into this time that we have of teaching and then to do justice to it. And I feel like it's a little overwhelming at times to be able to do it. But this is also, and also linking Daniel chapter 12 to Palm Sunday, which in itself is a bit challenging, yet it is actually, it links really well to be able to kick off this holy week that we're entering into. And I'm looking forward to the services that we have throughout this week that we start off with Maundy Thursday, which I give that a bit of a bad rap every once in a while because I don't really enjoy the whole foot washing thing, but it is something that is a very powerful experience of just humbling myself and others humbling themselves and to serve one another in that practical way of foot washing. And it's something where you can come and you can just observe, and that's totally okay. You can even hang back a little bit if you want to and just observe what's happening and to be able to be a part of that powerful experience. And then we'll enter into Good Friday the next day and be able to experience just the reality and the somberness of Jesus dying on the cross. And then, of course, we'll have Resurrection Sunday. But let's wait until we get there and be able to live and lean into some of the tension that there is around Easter. Now, following Easter, we're going to be starting a new series, which we've called the Knowing Jesus series. And we're going to be journeying through the Gospel of John. We're going to kind of take a slow pace through the Gospel of John and really process the life of Jesus and the work of Jesus and the ways of Jesus in the Gospel of John. So I'm looking forward to that. You know, sometimes we'll have the conversations or we'll be faced with a lot of options in life. And somebody, so maybe we're discussing something or someone is asking us a question. They ask us, would you like this or would you like this? Or is the answer this or is the answer this to certain questions of life or certain questions that are asked of us? And sometimes the answer to both of those questions is yes. Would you like chicken or beef? Yes. Right? Would you like green or orange? Yes, those are nice colors. And we have all of these options and endless options because of how our economy works. We have endless options because of all of the different research that we can do. And we always have more than one option in most things within life. Do you like, do you want to have a Samsung phone or an iPhone? Well, that might be a little bit easier depending on what infrastructure and what operating system you deal with, right? But it might be just yes, because they're both really good products. And there's so many times and so many ways within our lives that we can have all of these different options. And the answer is oftentimes just yes. And yet we can't have all of those things because then we just have too much stuff and too many options. But Daniel is a book that has so much complexity and is difficult to place in one particular category. You see, in chapter six, the first six chapters, we learned about Daniel and his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and all of the different adventures and all of the different persecutions and challenges that they went through. And how they followed God in each and every challenge. And then we get to chapter 7 and all the way to chapter 12, which is what we're talking about today. We have these visions and dreams and all these different events that had happened and prophecies. And then we have the final visions of Daniel. And many of these visions can be applied to different interpretations of how we see Daniel. Some would say that it's seeing the kingdoms that existed 160 years before Christ. Or it might be something that we see how the Roman Empire is and how they destroyed the temple in 70 AD. Or it might be linking to Revelation, the book of Revelation, and how John wrote Revelation and the return of Christ and all the future empires. And the thing is, with all of these options, the answer is yes. It's applicable to all of those different options it's counting events that happened way before Jesus or happened slightly after Jesus or that will happen in the future. And we can apply all of these teachings to all of those views. And so the answer to all of those things is yes. Now, does that mean that we have just kind of this wishy-washy understanding of the book of Daniel? No. But we do understand that the book of Daniel is a complex book and that the Bible itself is a complex collection of many books that require a lot of interpretation. And sometimes we think we have it all figured out and we dive a little bit deeper or we're processing at a different angle within our life and the challenges in life. And all of a sudden we understand Scripture a little bit differently than we did before. Does that mean that we were wrong before? Not necessarily, but it does mean that our level of understanding and our level of wisdom and our level of knowledge is growing when it comes to this complex book, which we call the Bible, which is a collection of books and a collection of chapters and verses and words that have so much meaning. And so we can't reduce it to just one little thing. We have to look at all the different backgrounds and the language. I mean, Daniel's complexity of it was written in two different languages. It was written in Hebrew as well as Aramaic. Well, that in itself is very confusing. Why would he write in two different languages? What's going on here? And so we have to be able to really do a deep dive into this and to understand that there may be more than one way to look at this type of scripture. And just because we're looking at more than one way doesn't mean that we're more wrong, and it doesn't mean that any of those interpretations are more right or more wrong, because it can be applicable to many things. So Daniel has its historical short-term and future, long-term and short-term, and then also this future time that it's looking ahead, and also all of those things we say Yes. Scholars agree that we should resist to the temptation to really analyze Daniel through math or literal interpretation or even a direct link. But it's to directly link its events or visions to specific situations into different generations, but rather to see it as a book with historical events, with symbolic visions, and a book that gives hope to all generations, including ours and future generations. Because overall, Daniel is a book of hope. It's a book of hope where people will mess up time and time again. It's about kings messing up. It's about the Israelites messing up. It's about God's people messing up. It's about us messing up. And where the end of our world as we know it, it is still under the sovereignty of God. So no matter what happens in this world, no matter what is happening in this world, it is under the sovereignty of God. And it relates to the entrance, the message, and the work of Jesus on the cross. And so it's directly linked to Jesus. So let's look at the first couple verses in Daniel chapter 12, where it says this: "At that time, Michael, the great prince who protects your people, will arise. There will be a time of distress such as has not happened from the beginning of nations until then. But at that time, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book, will be delivered. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt." So here we have this prediction of a time of distress. Now, distress is something that is a part of human existence, isn't it? We experience it sometimes on a daily basis and in small doses, right? My coffee got too cold to drink. Those little things that happen, right? Traffic lights keep stopping me all the time instead of getting me to work on time. Or my car won't start. Those sorts of little distresses that we have. And they're usually short, but sometimes we have periods in life where it's a little more intense, where it might be a little more long term. And in our throughout history, humans have experienced tremendous amounts of stress, and usually through things like wars. There's in more recent history, there's World War One, there's World War Two, there's other wars. There's the war that's happening in Ukraine. There's the war that's happening in Iran. There's pandemic. Remember that happened? That was pretty rough, wasn't it? And then we have all the distresses that happen with all the advances in technology and the anxieties that it brings and the challenges that it causes within our society and our social interactions and our brain development of our young people and all these things that are worrying us and distressing us. And history has felt it, and we currently feel distress within our lives. It's not unique to our generation, but it's unique to us in the sense that we are experiencing it. We are experiencing distress in many aspects of our lives. And so we feel it. Every week we're inundated with information that's so happening, so much information happening to us, or being thrown at us so often, all the time, unless we shut it off and sit in a closet somewhere and have no technology whatsoever, right? Which is sometimes good, but hard to do, right? But it's impossible for us to process all the things that are coming our way. And there's real-time events that are presented with no accountability or way to really verify whether it's true or verify whether it's really happening. So either we have the conclusion of, well, no, nothing's happening, or the conclusion that everything is happening and everything is real, right? And so this is a time in our lives, a time in history where we need to have more discernment and more wisdom to be able to really understand what's going on, what's true and what's not true, and what I should believe and what I shouldn't believe, and how I should act and how I shouldn't act or react. And we'll get into a little bit more about this, but to be able to know Jesus is so important. But not just to know Jesus, but to really know Jesus. Jesus is super important in this day and age. See, Daniel and Jesus remind us that help is here. They give us this message of hope. We're familiar with the life of Jesus as we've prepared for this Holy Week. We're familiar with what he did on the cross. We're familiar with Daniel as we've been journeying through this series and how God allows some of this distress and some of this chaos within our lives. That God is still with us in the midst of the chaos and the distress that happens within our lives. It's not just him throwing a bunch of things in our lives to be able to give us some stress and he sits back and laughs. That's not how God works. God allows these distresses to happen within our lives to be able to deepen our walk within our dependence on him. Because the fact of the matter is, no matter what we're going through, he is with us. And God is not familiar with unfamiliar with some of the distresses that we have within our lives. Jesus rode on that colt, that donkey, which is, it's not even a full grown donkey. He rode in on this baby donkey and he walked into distress. He knew that as he entered into Jerusalem, that would be his last journey into Jerusalem. He knew that he was going to face the hardest time that he would ever face within his life. He knew that he was going to have to lay down his life. But he entered with celebration. He was celebrating with them. He was fearless. He knew what was ahead. And he could have gone wandering out into the wilderness and like, no, I'm not going. I'm not going to Jerusalem. I'm just going to go back into the wilderness and wander around for a while. Right? No, he was fearless. He knew that this is what he was going to do, that this is why he was there. And so he chose that harder path. He chose it without fear. He also had authority. Jesus carried his identity with him, his identity as the Son of God, his identity as God. And Jesus knew what was right. And he knew that he actually had to do what was right. And so he had that responsibility. He had that identity that God had given him, that he was God, that he was the one who had to die for the human race. And he did that with authority, being fully human, but also being fully God. And he also did it with readiness. Why did Jesus disappear and go into the wilderness every once in a while or go to a quiet place to pray? Because he was preparing himself. He was spending time with God and saying, God, help me to be prepared for what lies ahead. Jesus knew that he was going to be betrayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. He knew that they were going to arrest him and that was going to be the beginning of that end. So what did he do? He went to the Garden of Gethsemane. He spent time with God and he had anguish and he wrestled with God. God, if this cup could be taken from me. But because he had spent so much time preparing, his next words were, but God, not my will, but your will be done. So he was ready. And as he entered Jerusalem, he entered on that colt, that baby donkey, which is a symbol of peace, not war, which is a symbol of humility, not pride, which is a symbol of servanthood, not control. You see, Jesus knew that he was representing a higher kingdom that would have been the higher kingdom that Daniel knew about. Jesus didn't come here to take over or to control, but to liberate and to set us free. And all of that, the motivation that Jesus had was love. He could have done this an easier way, probably. It's God, he can figure out how to do it an easier way. But he didn't. He took a hard way. And Jesus says in John chapter 15, verse 13, greater love has no one than this. Do you know how that ends? But to lay down one's life for his friends. He did it all because of an expression of love. That God loves us so much that he created us. He made us. But that's not where it ended. He gave us freedom to be able to choose him or to not choose him. And we mess things up so many times. But then he says, but look, there's the thing. I laid down my life for you because I love you. Because I love you. So Jesus didn't come as a political figure. You see, God is not found in earthly power, dominance, or control. God is found in serving and loving and laying down our lives and following the example of Jesus in this world. So let's look on in chapter 12, verse 3. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, roll up and seal the words of the scroll until the time of the end. Many will go here and there and increase in knowledge. Then I, Daniel, looked, and there before me stood two others, one on this side of the bank of the river and one on the opposite bank. One of them said to the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the river, how long will it be before these astonishing things are fulfilled? The man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the river, lifted his right hand and his left hand toward heaven. And I heard him swear by him who lives forever, saying, it will be for a time, times and half a time, when the power of the holy people will be finally broken. All these things will be completed. I heard, but I did not understand. So I asked my Lord, what will the outcome of all this be? He replied, go your way, Daniel, because the words are rolled up and sealed until the time of the end. Many will be purified, made spotless and refined, but the wicked will continue to be wicked. None of the wicked will understand, but those who are wise will understand. So wisdom and learning are important in this passage. There's a refinement in wisdom that we try to pursue within our lives, where there's a testing, and refinement is a testing. It usually requires some form of heat or pressure or challenge to be able to take out the impurities within whatever is being refined. Depending on the substance, taking contaminants out requires just an intense heat just to burn off all of the unwanted things in order to leave just what is wanted that is left. It might be anything from oil to precious metals. Heat is needed to be able to refine it and to make it what it needs to be and to make it more valuable, more pure, more usable. Sometimes just plain pretty. It looks better when it's refined. And that's the testing that there is. And in these testings, there's a wisdom that comes. And think about this within your own life. How many of you have learned more from your successes than your failures? I would dare to say, if you answered that honestly, you would say, I've learned more from the failures that I've had within my life, the testing, the difficult times, than I've ever learned from the successes that I've had in my life. And that's because it helps us to deepen our walk. It helps us to deepen our introspection. It helps us to be able to learn new things. And that is that refinement within our lives. And refinement and wisdom happen through the struggling, and we internalize and we learn so much more from the ways that we struggle and the failures that we have than the things that are successful or things that are just plain easy within our lives. And as we emerge through the struggle, there is a shining. With the process of struggle, we become a presence that shines with humility, but it's full of love and the presence of God. And that's the beauty of that refinement, is that it shines brighter. It has more purity to it. And that's what God does within our lives, so that wisdom will shine. And sometimes that's standing out in society, which sometimes if we've been refined, that can be something that's beautiful, or it can be something that's very challenging as well. And it goes from knowing a bunch of stuff, but also being able to present it and to have it and receive it with grace within our lives and have it be received with grace in the lives of others. Staying true in the midst of trends and circumstances within what's happening in the world, wisdom will always stay with truth, not compromising or distorting, not hiding, not avoiding or distracting. Wisdom will stay true to the character and practice of the ways of Jesus. Every single time, if we want to pursue wisdom, we look to Jesus. If we want to know who God is, we look to Jesus. If we want to know what we're supposed to do, we look to Jesus. Jesus helps us to know light from darkness. Many of you know that I did construction for a lot of years, and I have this tool belt. It's not cool. It's got glue all over it. It's dirty. It's dusty. And it's kind of worn out, but it's just one of those things where it's familiar. And I have a hammer. It's not a cool hammer. It's like, they've got really cool titanium ones. You could spend like $1,000 on a hammer because it's light and it doesn't make noises. I've got this hammer. It's got a wood handle on it, and it sings when I hit something. It's like ding, ding. And I hate that, but it's familiar, right? And it's one of those things when you're in construction, particularly carpentry, and you have this apron, usually you will use it much longer than it should be used. It's like that old couch you had in college. You just don't know how to get rid of it. It's comfortable. You enjoy it. It's like, I know it's worn out. Some of the stuffing's coming out, but it's my couch, right? Well, the same is with an apron, is that you have this hammer that doesn't like feel right, and but it hits stuff, right? And then you've got this apron, which it just, you know where things are. And if you were to buy a new one, it'd be like, I don't know how to find this stuff. I don't know how to put it on even. And it just has this familiarity. And I think so many times within our lives that we need to understand that there is a familiarity that doesn't wear out like an apron. And that is the familiarity that we can have with God. And the more time we spend with God, the more time we spend with Jesus, the more we know Jesus, the more we know God, the more we know the Holy Spirit. And as we know God, as we know Jesus, as we know the Holy Spirit, as we know this triune God in our lives, the more familiar He is. And the more familiar we are with God, the more wisdom we have and the more discernment we have to be able to understand what is true and what is not true, what is right and what is not right. And it comes quickly, as opposed to having to, okay, that doesn't sound quite right. I need to research this. But it's like, no, I'm pretty sure that's not right because I know God and that doesn't sound like God. That doesn't sound like Jesus. And we are able to discern what is right and what is wrong, what is dark and what is light, what is wise and what is unwise as we spend time with Jesus. And Daniel talks about the king's return. Jesus entered Jerusalem as a king, was killed as a criminal, rose like a boss, right? And will return as the victor, the King of Kings. And so we know the end of the story as we're still living the story. And even in this instance, as well as in the book of Revelation, if we talk about end times in the book of Revelation, that the details aren't always given. And I know that, you know, there's times in our lives where we seek God's guidance and He gives us just enough to take the next step. But He doesn't give us all the steps, does He? And there's this element of mystery that we have. And the time, the details aren't always given. And so even Daniel asks in this passage, he's like, okay, so how's this all going to happen? What am I supposed to do? How is this supposed to look like? And what does the voice say? Go your own way, Daniel. Basically, Daniel, stay in your own lane, will you? This is not what I'm talking about. You focus on what I'm telling you, not what your curiosity is asking you, right? So we don't get to know the whole story and must live in the mystery. And that's much like we're trying to do this week, right? We're doing Maundy Thursday where we do the foot washing. We enter into the story of Jesus humbly washing the disciples' feet and preparing for the betrayal, preparing for what is ahead. And then we come to Good Friday and we end in this time of just darkness and just being somber and sad and reflective of just recognizing the reality of Jesus' death. And we try to sit in that space and experience that grief as we enter the celebration of Sunday. And so there's so many times in our lives where we resist, but we need to embrace the mystery, embrace the tension that exists within what we know and what we don't know when it comes to Jesus coming back, when it comes to the end of all things, and to live in that tension and to remember things like, well, let's grow in wisdom, let's grow in knowledge, let's grow in being ready for Jesus and doing the work of Jesus and following the ways of Jesus and have that be our focus. See, the strength of the message of Daniel is that it gives a vision of hope. The last two verses, in Daniel chapter 7, let's go back a little bit. Verse 13 and 14, it says, "In my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations and peoples and every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed." Doesn't that sound like hope? Don't you just feel like every kingdom that exists right now just feels like it's hanging on by a thread? And yet we are a part of a kingdom that cannot be destroyed. So here's the message of hope in Daniel that he ends off with. From the time that the daily sacrifice is abolished and the abomination that causes desolation is set up, there will be 1,290 days. Blessed is the one who waits for and reaches the end of the 1,335 days. As for you, go your way till the end. You will rest. And then at the end of the days, you will rise to receive your allotted inheritance. So here we have not the details, although there's some numbers in there. Let's not let those confuse us, because those are really hard to figure out. But there's a resolve that there is an end at some point. We don't know when. That in that end, there's glory, there's power, and there's rest. So here we have the good news of Jesus, who we've honored as King. There's a blessing that there is an inheritance that awaits us as we follow Jesus, as we surrender our lives to Jesus. And that there is an eternity that awaits, and there's a kingdom that we are a part of. So with this whole book of Daniel, with all of Easter, with all of what's happening this week, with all what's happening in the world, we know that as Christians, as followers of Jesus, that all of this starts with Jesus, that it is about Jesus, and that it ends with Jesus. And that's as simple as it all is. So as we reflect a little bit, just some questions for us to ponder. First one, how do I recognize the significance of Jesus as the King on Palm Sunday? How did you recognize it? It was kind of fun to be able to do this, wasn't it? To put some palm branches up in front and to show the backside of your outfit, as Sarah said. It was a good time. I feel bad. I ran into a little guy. Sorry about that. I hope you're okay. I turned around quickly and bumped into a little guy. He seemed fine. He ran off. So, secondly, how does the image of Jesus returning in the clouds cause fear, or does it cause comfort? Does it cause fear? Does it cause comfort? Daniel said, in Daniel it said, you'll rest. You'll find rest when Jesus comes. That's cool. Thirdly, how am I seeking renewal and refinement and wisdom in my life? Are you seeking that within your life? When I picture the end times, how am I focused on Jesus? Are you focused on the details, on the happenings, on the bad stuff, or are you focused on Jesus? Because it is about Jesus. And finally, what refinement do I need in my life today? What refinement do I need? And a familiarity with God, with Jesus, to be able to really understand what's happening. Not be reactive, but just to be understanding and seeing it through God's eyes. In his vision. Will you pray with me? God, we thank you that these words of Daniel give us such hope and comfort. And I know that for some of us, when we think about those end times, when we think about all of these scary prophecies that have happened and are happening, Lord, that there's this discomfort, this uneasiness that we have at times. And yet, Lord, I pray that you would help us to be able to focus on you, that you are our King, that you did things that you didn't have to do, but you did them anyway because of love. And so, Lord, as we enter into this Holy Week and reflect on your Son, God, I pray that you would help us to really immerse ourselves in some of the tensions that there are and some of the hard parts that we walk through and that Jesus walked through. So that as we enter into Resurrection Sunday, that it would just be that beautiful celebration, and the contrast would just be amazing as we remember you and how you saved us from our sins. Thank you, Lord.